From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young with Lisa Mullins. It's Here and Now, and we want to get right to the latest news from France, where two simultaneous hostage takings are over. At an event in Arizona, President Obama said the U.S. is providing support to French law enforcement and stands firmly behind the country.
And in the streets of Paris, the world's seen once again what terrorists stand for. They have nothing to offer but hatred and human suffering. And we stand for freedom and hope and the dignity of all human beings. And that's what the city of Paris represents to the world. And that spirit will endure forever.
The president spoke after French President François Hollande spoke to his country, confirming that four hostages and three hostage takers were killed today, a dramatic ending to a two-day manhunt for the brothers suspected in Wednesday's deadly attack on the magazine Charlie Hebdo. The two brothers were killed outside a warehouse near the Charles de Gaulle Airport. In Paris, police shot and killed a man who knew the brothers and had taken 15 people hostage at a kosher market. As we said, at least four of them died. French police believe the market gunman also killed a policewoman in southern Paris yesterday, and police have issued a wanted poster for his reported wife. In his speech, President Hollande called the hostage taking at the kosher market anti-Semitic, and he congratulated police for, quote, neutralizing the Charlie Hebdo suspects, the brothers Sharif and Saeed Kouachi, in the town of Damartin. Bloomberg reporter Gregory Viscuzzi is there. And Gregory, how did this unfold there? We understand the brothers tried to escape and came out firing their guns?
Yes, it seems that the two came out firing their guns and were quickly shot down by the police. We were being kept quite a far away and out of sight. We heard two explosions followed by about 10 rapid-fire gunshots, and that seems to have been it. What's unclear is the case of the hostage. There was a young man, who worked at the printing shop who was in the building with the hostage, with the two killers, but it's not clear whether he was a hostage, i.e. was held with them, or whether he was hiding in the building. Mm. Regardless, he's safe and sound, he's out, but we don't know the exact conditions of how he was held in the printing shop.
Well, and this is all unfolding on television around the world, and almost simultaneously we saw police begin to storm that market in Paris. I know you're up there by Charles de Gaulle Airport, but do you have a sense, have police said that this was the plan, to do this simultaneously?
I think it had to have been because the holder of the hostages in Paris and the two killers holed up here north of Paris knew each other, and they seem to have even been in contact with each other. And the hostage taker in Paris had threatened he was going to kill his hostages if any assault was made on the two brothers.
Well, it's quite something, and we're now learning more about all three of these men. And apparently they were well known to officials in France. But what we're hearing is that there are just too many of people like them who've had brushes with the law and may have ideology that might maybe someone might want to keep an eye on. But there's just too many of them. So how are people, especially in this small town where you are, how are they reacting to that?
Well, they seem, people in this town, they were locked up for most of the day. They were told not to go outside, and the school children should have left any time between like 2:30 and 4:30 in the afternoon. They weren't allowed out in most cases till about 5 in the evening. No, the country definitely is, there's definitely a very scared mood in the country, and I mean, you put your finger on it that it's just no way the government can keep tabs on all the potential risks. And there's two reasons. One is just the manpower that would be involved. You can't systematically put everyone under surveillance who has spent any time in jail. And then the nature of the threat has changed in the sense that, okay, these two brothers who were killed here today, they come out of a more traditional kind of threat, sort of disgruntled second-generation immigrants, who fall in with radical Islam. But the problem is that right now, a lot of the people going off to fight in Syria, who then eventually could come back to France, don't come from that world. They're Frenches could be, they grew up Catholic in a lot of cases, and they're converts. And a lot of them did not have any brushes with the law behind them. So you've got just the sheer numbers and the sheer number of policemen it takes to put someone under surveillance. And then you've got the fact that the nature of the threat and where the threats come from are changing and are coming out of very unusual places. One of the French guys who was seen in a video beheading a Syrian soldier in that gruesome video back in November, I believe it was. He's a convert from a quiet little town in Normandy, and I never had any trouble with the law. So the police are certainly, it's not an easy job for them. They're going to come in for a lot of criticism, but it's not an easy job.
Yeah, quite a day. Gregory Viscusi of Bloomberg News reporting from north of Paris in France, where a hostage situation has ended there. Greg, thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And let's bring in Rob Watson just to give a look at this from London. He's the BBC's political correspondent. And Rob, your thoughts as you watch what unfolded today. These two different hostage situations turned out to be very much linked.
Absolutely. I can only tell you that the way it's seen in London, of course, it feels very, very nearby, is that there's an awful lot of sympathy for what has happened in a twin city, almost, as it were. There's a lot of soul-searching about Britain's own relationship with its Muslim population. And I would think sprinkled in as well a certain apprehension about whether London could be next, or at least some big city in Britain could be next. And even though the government has said and the security force services have said that they haven't got any specific intelligence that something like what's happened in Paris or connected to what's happened in Paris is being planned for London or elsewhere, that the head of Britain's domestic intelligence service said only on Thursday night that presumably that there would be an attack that at some point would get through here.
Well, and it would be next again. London would be next again, because we remember the attacks on the city's public transit system in 2005. So you're saying that there's increased fear or renewed fear, but does it feel like something of a tipping point?
Well, I'm not sure that I'd use the word tipping point. And it's certainly true that, of course, that the seven attacks, as we call them in Britain, Britain's 9/11, are obviously on a much smaller scale. You know, we've had that. We've had several foiled plots on a pretty grand scale in the years since then. I'm not sure that tipping point is the right word. Mm-hmm. There's just, I guess there's a feeling in Britain, both amongst the population, amongst the establishment, people that write the newspapers, that we haven't cracked it. And what I mean by that is that we haven't entirely cracked the security side of things, and we haven't entirely cracked how do we all live together in harmony. So there is absolutely no sense of complacency in the UK this evening.
Yeah,
well, this lunchtime your time,
yeah.
Not at all.
Well, we're going to take up that question with our next guest as well. Is this, you know, how does she view this as maybe a possible tipping point? But just, is there a sense, we are hearing from so many Muslims today in both Britain and France saying these men were not Muslims, not in the way we define it. But is there a sense that the conversation might change around that, that there might be some harder conversations about how to address this problem?
Absolutely. Look, in Britain, that conversation has been going on and off since 7/7. And of course, the same thing is going to happen in France. Yes, a very difficult conversation is going to happen. And as you can imagine, it's tricky on both sides, because there are an awful lot of Muslims in Britain and France who think, hang on a minute, we don't want to be tarred with the same brush as the people who've carried out these attacks in the name of Islam. But there's also, and it would be pussyfooting around not to say this, there are an awful lot of people in Britain and France who are non-Muslims who think, you know, Muslims ought to do more to condemn this kind of thing. And, of course, there's this big debate about freedom of speech, a debate that would seem almost alien in the United States, where these things are laid out in constitutional terms. So, you know, there are very, very difficult conversations. There are very, very difficult times ahead, both sides of the channel, that's for sure.
Yeah. The BBC's Rob Watson in London. Thank you.
Thank you.
Joining us now in the studio is Jule Clausen. She is professor of international cooperation and politics at Brandeis University and an expert on terrorism and Islam in the West. I wonder if you can tell us now, picking up on what Rob Watson just said there is no sense of complacency in London. Is there any reason to believe, in your view, that this is part of a series of attacks that might be yet to come, that at this point it is not over? What do you see?
Well, I think the most immediate fear right now is of copycat attacks. These were planned attacks, as we have been describing them. But there's always the sense that there will be people who, in the wake of something like this, would decide to try to emulate what just happened for their own sake of glory. It should be said, though, that those types of attacks usually do not result in any great harm. It is very difficult to become a skilled killer the way we have seen these people acting is something you have to learn. It's not something you can just walk up and start doing. France has had a history of people who have done these things, and Mohamed Merah and Medina Namouche, who carried out in November the attack at the Jewish Museum in Belgium, was also a Frenchman. And all of them had those experiences from abroad. So the real risk here is that there are far more such skilled people on the loose in Western Europe today than there had been at any previous time. But we should also know that we're still talking about a very small number of people overall, that they have their capabilities have been degraded. We're not talking about the type of mass casualty attacks that we have seen in the past.
And let me just interrupt there, because I know one of the people who you are especially paying attention to right now is somebody who's on the loose. She is known to police. There was a mugshot of her on TV. This is the 26-year-old woman who was thought to be allied with the attacker in the kosher market. That attacker is now apparently dead. What is so telling about this woman's case?
Well, we don't know very much about her. In contrast to the others, we know nothing about her except she has been identified as Hayat Boumediene, and I believe 26 or 27 years old. But we have in the recent 18 months or so seen a new phenomenon rise with particularly French women following along to the insurgency in Iraq and in Syria. Several hundred French women have been identified as having gone there, mostly to assist the men folks or so-called jihadi brides. But particularly among the French women, there has also been several groups that have requested that they become combatants. And she has been identified as a combatant. She has been identified by the French police as the person who shot the policewoman in the attack on Thursday morning.
Right. And so at this point, she is still on the loose. What do you believe, in the short amount of time we have left, is the proper response at this point for people, especially in this part of France, who may be extremely afraid to continue with their lives, knowing someone's still on the loose and knowing this is immediately behind them?
Well, Paris is in lockdown right now. The metro hasn't been running all day. So the situation is somewhat similar to what we have had here in Boston with the marathon bombing. It has to be said, though, that everybody will probably go back to their regular business soon.
Which you say they should do.
Yes.
Thank you, Jutta Clausen, Professor of International Cooperation and Politics at Brandeis University. You're listening to Here and Now.